on the telephone line, here to lay some truth on us, as he always does, from WBZ CBS Boston, Michael Hurley joins us. Hello, Michael.
Hello. I've got plenty of truth for you, so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to hear that. It's sad, though. I saw this post from you a couple of days ago, and boy, made me sad, too. You were originally going to be here in Bangor yesterday to see the Foo Fighters in concert.
Yeah, we could have been in person. It could have been, it could have been the first ever in-person appearance, but unfortunately, obviously, the Taylor Hawkins death changed that, and it was sad to think about, because that was supposed to be a nice trip up north in the middle of the summer, but unfortunately, didn't pan out.
No, man, a sad situation all around, although I did see that they're looking to get back on the road here at some point, so maybe next year.
Maybe. It's hard. Sometimes the drummer is just the drummer, but other times their unique energy is just permeates every song. And Taylor Hawkins certainly would be one of those. So it'll be tough if they ever do, pick it back up. It won't be quite the same.
No, not at all. Well, let's talk a little football. Patriots, let's see. There are coaching assignments, sort of, right?
Yeah, as expected, Matt Patricia kind of handling the bulk of the, offensive, the traditional offensive coordinator role. But today, Joe Judge got a little piece, and Bill Belichick got a little piece in the 7-on-7. But for the most part, I just think, Matt Patricia makes the most sense there for a lot of reasons, mostly that he has been a coordinator before and he's been a head coach. So the pacing of the game, the speed of the game won't be overwhelming for him, whereas Joe Judge was a head coach technically. not sure what that involved. He had coordinators. They were awful. It was a disaster. So not that Patricia's tenure in Detroit was much better, but he did run the defense on Super Bowl winning teams in New England. So I think that gives him the leg up, and that's why he is, sort of unofficially in that role right now.
There does seem to be quite a bit of excitement about the leaner, meaner Mac Jones. Oh, did we lose Michael?
Oh, I got your back. Okay. I don't know what happened.
There we go. Mac Jones, he's a lean, mean fight machine. Brand new Tom Brady-esque body on him.
Yeah, probably going to be the MVP. I don't know what else to tell you. No, but I think when he showed up last year as a rookie, my biggest concern with him was his body. It wasn't, he had the mental prowess. He had the arm, the accuracy, all that. But I was worried about his physically holding up to the NFL. And he did. Shout out to him. But he did not have an NFL body. And I think what you saw in the offseason was an NFL diet, an NFL workout program. And he probably, for the first time in his life, looks like an athlete. So I think it's all positives for him and where he's at. Does it work out with the coaching? How much are they relying on him to be sort of a coach on the field? That's the part that would be concerning. For me, the player seems to be in a great position.
Signing for the Patriots, too. They've spent a lot of money and apparently have a lot of faith in Devon Godshaw.
Yeah, a little bit bizarre on that one. After the offseason they had, very quiet offseason, they got Devontae Parker, Malcolm Butler, players of that caliber. Didn't really spend, and then to go out and, I won't say break, invest a lot of money in a defensive tackle who didn't really stand out last year as one of those free agent signings, certainly a bit surprising. And then Bill Belichick today calling him one of the best defensive linemen in the league was bizarre. That's the best I can say about that. It's not that Godshaw was bad last year. It's just that he wasn't a plus or a standout in any regard. So to see him get that deal when so many players have to scrap and claw to get a dollar out of Bill Belichick, it was a bit strange. If I had to theorize on why, it would just be the Rosenhaus connection. Mm. I don't know. That's the reason they traded Robert to maintain a relationship with Drew Rosenhaus. So that had to play a role in it. But yeah, definitely one of the weirder contract extensions we've seen here.
So what's at the top of the priority list right now? What do they need most going into the season?
That which cannot be attained, which is a front seven, personnel-wise. But to me, they just don't have the players up front to be the team that we're used to them being. They have great safeties. I think their safety group is maybe their best positional group on the team, that and running back. And there's a lot of questions. The corners could probably be okay at best if you had a decent to good pass rush. They don't have that. They have Matt Judon and Hope and guys like Josh Uche. They have in the middle, they have Juwan Bentley and then Hope and guys like Raekwon McMillan and Mack Wilson, who wasn't good enough to make it on the Cleveland Browns. So the front seven concerns me a lot. Even the guys they lost, like Winovich wasn't a big player. Kyle Van Noy wasn't great last year, but you add it all up, and they didn't really replace a lot of these people. So, to me, the biggest concern is up front, and I just think it's a personnel issue. If you want, you know, a less hopeless outlook, I'm big on Trey Flowers is one of the best players I've seen come through the system as a mid-round draft pick and really excel. He's still out there. We know Bill Belichick likes him. We know Matt Patricia likes him. So perhaps he is someone who could, you know, be a shot in the arm there to help that front seven, because they need it.
So who's in better position right now, the offense or the defense?
It's personnel-wise, it's not even close. It's the offense. Coaching-wise is the big issue on offense. The uncertainty of having it being run by someone who's never done it is very concerning to me. So I actually feel okay personnel-wise about the offense. You know, the receivers are decent. The tight ends are good. The running backs are great. The quarterback's good. The O-line is pretty good. There's no holes there. It's just, is the play call going to be coming in late? Are they going to be, you know, getting their calls messed up? Excuse me, as an emergency vehicle drives by. My take was deemed too hot for the ambulance. But, no, that is the issue there. Defense, you know, the coaching's all right with Mayo and Steve Belichick and all that, but it's the personnel that's the issue. So, to me, it might wash out, but I have fewer concerns about the players on offense as I do about defense.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. I see that Tampa Bay general manager Tom Brady got himself another target to throw to. That seemed to be a pretty decent pickup.
It did. I mean, I don't know that Julio Jones last year would have even entered anyone's consciousness if his name wasn't Julio Jones. Mm. So at 32, 33 years old, it's a bit different than getting him 5 years ago. I feel like we are such a star-loving sports fandom, whatever you want to call us. Like, the same thing applies to the whole Kevin Durant debate ongoing. He's 34. You know, like, they're not the same player they were 5 years ago. So with Julio Jones, should help. Pretty good player. Pretty prolific player in his prime. But I don't know. I don't know about, you know, they lost their center today. We'll see how bad that is. But we definitely, people like me, keep one eye on the Bucks and one eye on the Patriots. So something to watch. Maybe he's got one more year of juice in him. We'll see.
Rob Gronkowski, is he done for good?
I don't know. I mean, they got Kyle Rudolph. Tells you, you know, there's only so much money to allocate. But I guess if you get Rob Gronkowski around Thanksgiving, you can, you know, give him a small fee and basically pay him to join your team for the playoffs. So I don't think he's done. I think he hates training camp. I think he hates a lot of things about football. If my body went through the things he went through, I would also hate football, a lot of things about football. So to me, no. I think just he's too young and he has too much football to give to the world to officially wrap it up. I think as long as Tom goes, he'll be back. He's just certainly not going to go down on the Florida Heat run sprints. But that's, I wouldn't either.
The Red Sox, last place in the East, but Chaim Bloom says he believes in them, and he proved it today by going out and signing Danny Santana? Wow.
Oh, yeah. That'll get the clubhouse going. That'll get them behind you.
He does want us to win. What a move.
Yeah, I mean, they have gotten depressing to watch. You know, I always enjoy a good midsummer 7 o'clock start, get comfortable, watch a nice bit there. They're a brutal watch right now. They're tough. It's tough. And it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better. And a part of that is injuries, but a part of that is the roster design. You know, they went into the end of the year thinking a Franchi Cordero, Bobby Dalbec platoon at first base could work, and it can't. You know, you need major league players at every position if you want to be competitive. And it's brutal right now. So I don't know. I know the Orioles won today already, so you know, climbing out of the basement's going to be tougher. That was my demand or request from the Red Sox in the second half. Like, listen, we know how the season's going. Just be better than the Orioles, who have a payroll of something like $40 million. Just be better than them. Thus far, they are failing the test. So tough times for the Boston Red Sox.
And then since we've talked with you last, the Bruins went out and hired former Maine Black Bear Jim Montgomery. Do you think he's the right guy for that job?
I'm not sure there is a right guy for that job. I don't know what that entails. I have no read or take on Montgomery as a coach. But I don't know. Apparently, you know, sometimes a change is needed, and you know, go for it. It's a player situation where, well, right now they still don't have Patrice Bergeron signed. Theoretically, he's on the team, but you know, there's no ink pen. There's no ink on any paper, so that hasn't happened yet. And the David Krejci thing, for all that, seems to be a done deal. Also, not a done deal. So I don't know. They've. For years, even with Bergeron, even with Krejci, we're really a one-line team. Now maybe they could be a two-line team, which I think might get you to the second round instead of the first round. So I look at that team as just sort of meh, sort of middle of the pack, and I don't know that any coach, even, you know, Herb Brooks, could get them much further than that. So not to be a downer and not give someone a chance, but that's my read on the roster right now.
Well, at least Don Sweeney has job security.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, there's some website, you know, and you know, everyone has different methods. The Bruins ranked dead last in the NHL in their prospects. Dead last, absolute worst in the league. And, yeah, Don Sweeney with a multi-year extension, you know, why not? Let's give him a couple more years, a couple more drafts, see if they can finally figure it out. Good luck.
Yeah, there you go. Michael Hurley, CBS Boston, WBZ. Michael, as always, a great talk with you. Thanks for making a little time for us, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Absolutely. Perhaps I'll invest in a new phone before then to avoid such embarrassment.
I'm blaming the emergency vehicle all the way.
Absolutely. All right. I'll talk to you.
See you, Michael.